Oh, it says plan to go live.
Yes. And we are live. You may
Beautiful.
see us look left and right to actually share quickly on the
There.
different pages that we are live.
And
We are live. You may
beautiful.
see us.
There we go.
Oh gosh, I hear myself. Okay, I need to end
No,
this
I had
quickly.
that was me. I had to go into the video
Share.
so I could post it. There we go.
Share to. Okay, shared. I will close my Facebook.
Perfect.
And I should be seeing when people are clicking, posting comments. So, welcome everyone. Sorry for the 1 minute of us. This is the Intimate Show, episode 7, with a beautiful guest today, my very good friend, Paul Henrider. I hope I pronounced it correctly. And it's going to be spontaneous. I had to think of something to put in the description while announcing. We can use that, but we can also go a completely different direction. But that's the beauty about this kind of live shows. We just do it in the moment.
Beautiful.
Let's start by introducing the guest. Paul, something about you that we need to know. Oh, I see. People don't see my hands actually. It's also small. Getting used to the new overlay.
Well, I'm Paul Hanreiter. I'm located in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. If anybody knows where that is, we had the Olympics here a long, long time ago. I guess I'd call myself as a person that's awakening, getting really clear and true about life and what's going on in the world and the things that really matter. Breaking down, what do you want to call it, like community beliefs and things that are built into our lives for control. And in that process, I started to channel a lot of information about sacred sexuality and how our sexuality works and how it heals us as a human being. And this concept of what I call awakening through sexuality, which is essentially just getting us back to our innocence and purity of our sexuality and our birthright of that, to heal ourselves, to move the energy, to release the traumas that get trapped in our body. And the traumas are literally the things that are. It keep us in a cage. We build up all these things we call trauma, which are just basically just bubbles of energy that got stuck in our body of emotion that are really extreme and strong. And we will stop at nothing to never have that touched again. And we build up all this armor and all this protection on ourselves, and it closes our world in. So awakening through sexuality will teach you to get back into your body, grounding, pleasure, and get your life back. And living from pleasure and bliss is life-changing. So I love to do it, and it is a miracle. So.
Nice. One of the things I heard there was about the barriers and the closing. And one of the things I've worked on in the past year was reopening my heart after getting hurt so many times. And these two are very connected. I mean, just like we close our heart to protect ourselves, we can also close our second chakra, which is the sexual chakra, which is also the life energy chakra and the creative energy chakra. And a lot of people forget this. So actually, having blockages on your sexuality may affect your life in so many areas. It can really be paralyzing, but most people don't realize it, don't know this because we're not being taught this. And that's also how society is set up, that sexuality is something just for in the dark bedroom, preferably not with the lights on. And like the church was preaching for very long only in the missionary position and things like that, or the extreme Jews not even touching each other but having a blanket in between with a hole in it. I mean, this is how fucked up society has gotten at a certain point, and things are changing now. but extremes are building up. Mm-hmm. We had the sexual revolution in the 1960s and 70s that was going to one extreme, and then we got the counterbalance, which was, oh, there is AIDS, oh, no, sex is dangerous. So, yeah, I mean, and people were even afraid to go to the beach because they had no clue how AIDS was being transmitted. And so everything had to slow down again. And we see these polarities happening now. And even when it comes to awakening the sexuality, even there we see polarities. And people say, you should do it this way. People say, you should do it that way. Uh-huh. And I personally believe you need to go inwards and feel what works for you. Mm-hmm. Because I know for a fact that you and I, Paul, we have a different way of looking at what we enjoy and why we would like to do certain things. Mm-hmm. And that's totally fine because we are different people. We have a different history when it comes to our life and sexuality. But we also different people, so we have different needs. So it's very important that people connect from here and then feel like, okay, what is it that I want, what resonates for me? Mm-hmm. It's just the same as when you want to choose a coach to work on something, you also look like, does it resonate or not because he has the best titles or the most famous, that he's the best for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, he can be the best according to whom. Mm-hmm. It's just like a movie or like mm-hmm. music. One likes it, one doesn't like it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this goes back to the part of the blockages. It's important to have an open heart.
Important to understand the armoring process, and then that'll explain exactly what you just said about the closed heart. So the armoring process, let's put it this way. So imagine you get a splinter in your heart. It's just off a board, and it's big and pokey, and it hurts. And you look at it, and it's like pain, and you don't want to deal with that pain. So it's like, but we don't know that we can remove the splinter at that point by using our emotions, expressing it, getting through the energy. So instead, what we'll do is we'll like, ouch, that hurts. That's a splinter. So we put a little Band-Aid on it, and that protects it a little bit. But every once in a while, you bump into something and that Band-Aid comes. It's the same thing. It's like, okay, I had a rape in my life or something, and there's all this anger and rage and depression and sadness and stuff that is going to explode our body that we just put into a bubble. We close it off, and then it's sitting in our body and you're hiding. Now, the only way to heal is to go back and move through those energies. It's stuck in those bubbles. And the visceral process of awakening through sexuality does processes like yoni massage and other things. I can literally feel those bubbles inside a woman's yoni. And you can touch them. They're hard. And the minute you touch them, they go back to the event. They can feel the emotion like it's right there. So the true access, instead of trying like a psychologist or counseling a person trying to get through 50 feet of armor and all the protection or up here, you can get at it viscerally right then and there. And you can touch it. And then you can encourage them to go through the energy and support them and feel it and cry and scream. And the beautiful thing about using sexuality to heal it and accessing it down there, you can use pleasure at the same time. The universe created pleasure for us to move energy, to create, to heal ourselves. So to get rid of all the the nasty stuff going on in our brain that's saying, I'm bad, I'm a victim, I'm hurting, you have an orgasm. And all of a sudden, all these beautiful oxytocins, dopamine, serotonins, and exactly the amount you need come into your body. Your body completely relaxes, and you have an opportunity to release that bubble. And what's really cool after that, once one of those bridge foundation bubbles goes away, the bridge starts to collapse. All of a sudden, all those rules don't make sense anymore. A hole opens in your cage. And I've seen people where the psyche starts to implode. That's why having people released into community afterwards is really important, a supportive community, because as that bridge collapses, your heart opens. Magic starts to happen. Your life starts to change. Your sexual organs, a lot of women have dryness down there, and because they're turned off this badly because they've been injured sexually, all of a sudden their body starts to get juicy again and life gets exciting. And it's all because of that trauma. These things we took on to learn, if we can release that trauma, a fight, it's so much easier. But if your safety and your reality is all hanging on whether or not your partner stays with you and they're they're loyal to you and you're the only one, you're going to get hurt because it's not the way the world works. A person is always going to be attracted to other bodies and other things. And if they're only attracted to you, they're lying, because there's in this world.
Or they're obsessed.
Yeah, or they're obsessed.
And then it becomes more like stalking. Absolutely. And you can even do stalking within the relationship.
Cool. Explain that for a second. I'm intrigued.
Just because I saw a few questions popping up. Where can people find you when it comes to, because you're much more into the physical aspect of things and how to do things. Mm-hmm. Where can people find you? Can you just name your group, for example, on Facebook? Because I believe that's where you share the most in-depth stuff.
Absolutely. I have a private Facebook group. Friend me. My name is right on the bottom of this screen. Once you're there, just say, I'd love to be in Awakening Through Sexuality. I've got another one called Sexuality Rising Learning Group as well. I've got a Living Your Light community, but I'll accept you into this group and it'll be a video like this. We'll talk about what yoni massage does and what the energy does. Now, if you're wanting to pursue treatments and therapies and working with me on that regard, it's not something I can post up on the web and say, this is the process and this is how it works, because a lot of people judge that and say there's stuff wrong with that. But come to me, talk to me, tell me what your thing is. Private message me. Once you're my friend on Facebook, we do a messenger link and then we talk on Zoom or whatever. And we start, I don't heal people. I don't fix people. I don't do anything. I'm a hollow bone. I am here of absolute service to anybody that shows up. And whatever your higher self needs will come through me. That could be questions, that could be sexuality or touch or part of my treatment process. It could be even conflict sometimes, where it's like, oh, I trigger this shit out of you or whatever, and you hate me because I trigger that. That's me working with your higher self. And I just get okay with that. It's not acceptable for violence or any other thing, but perfectly okay if people hate me or they don't understand me or I trigger the shit out of them, because that's what I do. But I will sit here and I will support you through that. I won't take abuse or I won't take other things, but my role is just to lovingly get that out on the table, start asking questions. If you're calm enough to talk and let some of those things percolate, magic happens. Because that anger is just fear. It's just like, oh, fuck, he's triggering the hell out of me. Maybe he has the secret sauce to help me figure this out of whatever. And that can be triggering as hell. And you'll run away from that person all day long until one day you're like, holy fuck, that guy might have the medicine that I need. And that's the magic, because then a person comes and they're open and they're just ready to change. So look me up in any of those ways. You can also go paul@sexualityrising.com. That's my email address. And we can put it in the link afterwards.
I did put the link to your, if I'm correct, to your websites, yep. What I found, and
I think there's
your
two
Facebook thousand. Group. I put them in the description.
Okay.
Also mine. And you can find them on YouTube. If you're looking for the links and you're not on Facebook, and you're watching this on YouTube or on Twitch, because one of the questions came from somebody on Twitch, and on Twitch you cannot put much in the description. So you just Google intuitive.me, you see it's written on the top, you'll find the YouTube, and you see the video, you see in the description, you see clearly all the exact links, so you don't need to look for spelling. The only thing you need to spell is intuitive.me without an E. Mm-hmm. And so this way you can find both of us. Mm-hmm. And through us, you'll find other people as well. So if you prefer to work with a woman because you feel safer with a woman, you'll probably also find a woman in one of our networks.
Mm-hmm. And then, okay, so two things. So I've known Lotfi for probably 2 years, maybe three now. His experiences mirrored a lot of mine. And so I can very clearly tell you that Lotfi has this healing ability as well. To share depth with a woman and to go through all these things. So it's an energy and it's a heart-centeredness and it's a way of helping people feel comfortable. And Lotfi has that capability. a lot of us started out dating and thinking that we were dating women, but it was actually healing processes that we were learning. We were channeling through our body from past lives and past knowledge. And there's a lot of men that are going to start showing up very soon that are going to have this ability to hold space for a woman, to let them go through all their pain and struggle and suffering. At one time in the world, I wanted to mention this as well, but one time in the world, there were temples. They were called the Temple of Isis. And you would go to a temple like this and you would work through your trauma. A soldier would go in with the worst trauma, the PTSD from 7 years of war, of killing people and seeing violence and murder and rage. And he would go in and he'd spend like 6 weeks with a temple priestess. And that woman would softly work through every single bit of rage, anger, suffering that was trapped in his body. And he would come out a normal person on the other side. That's why these temples were shamed and shut down. In speaking, you're speaking about Jesus and the Bible story. In the Bible, there was a woman named Mary Magdalene. They called her the prostitute. Well, guess what? She was an initiate in the Temple of Isis. That meant she was a priestess. So yes, she had shared sexuality with men for their healing. They labeled it as a prostitute because they wanted to make it bad. But she came into Jesus's life and she initiated him through a whole bunch of sacred sexual practices. And you want to talk even more fun? The Virgin Mary, his mother, wasn't just some shepherd's daughter. She was a high priestess in the Temple of Isis. She was able to take sacred sexual energy without sexuality, without a sperm, and create a life inside her body using the practices that she knew. She welcomed Mary Magdalene into Jesus's life, and Jesus and Mary Magdalene, if people want to like freak out and say Jesus didn't have sex, you're full of shit. Because that's how he learned those practices. He transcended his body in his resurrection during this Easter time. And that was all taught through movement of energy through sacred sexuality. He didn't just have a hallelujah moment. No, Mary worked with him, worked through his fears. Can you imagine a man walking up to be freaking crucified and surrender himself to the authorities for this transcendental moment for the world? Holy shit, you got to be pretty grounded and in your body to go through all that. Sacred sexuality did that. So keep
that. Yeah, they also say that they traced his steps back to India because there is a whole piece of his life that's not being talked about at all. Like most of his life till his whatever 40s or whatever age he had is like 10, 20 years that just disappeared. And that's when he actually learned a lot. But of course, they don't talk about it because they don't want to share what you and I could also be learning, because he needs to be the one on the pedestal and the rest need to just be like this. And so they can be, yeah, they can be submissive and dominated.
And the most important thing for everybody that's watching, they need to go into their heart and feel how this feels. This concept cannot be analyzed with our mind and our societal processes, because it's going to say all these things. It's dirty. It's bad. It's prostitution or whatever. No, it's the deliverance and the sharing of sacred sexuality and beautiful worshiping of each other's bodies and a transcendence of the story that will heal you. So you got to feel it in your heart. Does this feel good? Your head's going to judge it and say, oh, that might not be good or whatever. What if I get this or what if I get that? It's all the bullshit that's been programmed in there. You know, pleasure feels good. You know, your body feels good. You want to get through this stuff? How do you want to get through it? Do you want to struggle and have to look at every single one in pain and suffering? Or do you want to use the gift of healing that God has given, which is the most rapid awakening is through sexuality, using your pleasure, having wild screaming orgasms with yourself to start. It's not about jumping into sacred sexual situations with people. It's about learning your body, grounding yourself, getting fully in your body, touching yourself, moving your energy, knowing what feels good. And then one day, once you've healed as much as you can there, they'll send somebody into your life. It could be a healer. It could be a man that you really trust. And then your next level will happen. Now it'll become through sexual union. It'll come through using microcosmic orbit and moving the energy, living from your heart, making the lingam a wand of light, the yoni as a sacred temple. These are all kind of like graduating steps of awakening where you take yourself back. And you were born into this world sexuality is so inherent. As with children, they take sonograms of kids playing with their genitals in their womb. It's so part of being a human being. But the minute we come out, it's like, you don't touch yourself. You don't be naked. You don't masturbate. You don't do these things. And they shrink.
You don't do anything which is natural. Because if you were not supposed to have visible genitals, we would have been so hairy that you wouldn't see anything anywhere. Mm-hmm. Or we would be born with, let's say, like what the kangaroo has, like an extra cover, mm-hmm. like clothes on, yeah. But we were not. Yeah. So that should already tell you something, that if you believe that God is saying it's a sin to be naked, then why the hell did God create us naked?
Mm-hmm. And why does it feel so damn good?
Yes, I mean, try going to the beach or in your own garden in privacy, let's say a beach where there's nobody. So generally that means walking to one of the two sides of the beach and keep walking for half an hour till there's nobody, and just undress and sit for a moment, or undress and go swim. Mm-hmm. And I've done this with a few people who had never done it before. Mm-hmm. And they were all like, ah, this feels so good. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it can be uncomfortable the first few seconds, but at a certain moment you just forget or start ignoring what other people will think, or you realize that, yeah, once you're about a kilometer or two away from everyone, the only people that are still walking on the beach are all naked, because we, the people who realize how important it is to be really one with nature, mm-hmm. yeah, we decide we're gonna walk, and then we go away from the masses, and that's where you find mm-hmm. the general empty beaches are the naked beaches. Okay, in countries like Holland, you have dedicated parts. Mm-hmm. When you go there, you also see that everyone is naked. Nobody's walking around with an erection or leaking or mm-hmm. whatever, because everyone's just relaxed being themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's not like one big orgy. Mm-hmm. There is generally no sex on a naked beach. It's those oppressed people who have their oppressed feelings who go to the beach and start fucking somewhere and either want to be seen or hope nobody will see it. Mm-hmm. But people who are comfortable with themselves and actually comfortable grounding, mm-hmm. they're not. Mm-hmm. And to actually reach this, and you said, you already talked about doing things with yourself. The first thing you need to do is connect with yourself. Absolutely. Why do most of us are looking for somebody? Mm-hmm. Because we don't want to be alone. But why do we feel lonely? Mm-hmm. Because we're not connected to ourselves. And this is something I learned, I believe, last year. I really realized it. I probably knew the theory already before, but then when a friend of mine said it to me, it just, boom, I realized it. And my feeling of loneliness went away within hours, maybe 2 days. I don't remember, but it was like really fast. And I started to feel that peace. And I didn't need anymore to have somebody, to have a girlfriend, or to have my friends physically close. Yes, it's nice when I see a friend and I can give a hug. Mm-hmm. But I needed to find connection with myself first. Mm-hmm. And throughout most of my life, I was looking for that connection, but I didn't know that I could find it myself because I was not taught. I was taught by society, you need to have a girlfriend, you need to have friends, you need to make your colleagues be your friends. I was like, wait. Why do my colleagues need to be my family or my friends? Mm-hmm. No, it's just like my biological family doesn't need to be all friends. They're just people. We have this connection, or because an uncle of mine with whom I have a blood connection married somebody else doesn't mean that I need to be friends with somebody else that I barely met. No. Connection starts with you and then with people you actually manage to connect with. You feel something with. That's how you connect. And the same thing, when you want to have true lovemaking in your life, mm-hmm. you need to connect. Mm-hmm. If you're not connected with yourself, how can you be connected with somebody else? Mm-hmm. If you don't love yourself, how can you expect somebody else to love you? Mm-hmm. Except for your parents.
Mm-hmm. But compare that to what society teaches us. I'll let you finish if you want.
Yeah, it's interesting because you give me that drink. Like, yeah, you need to look in a certain way to be loved. You need to have big silicone boobs. You need to fill up your lips to be like that. or whatever, or like, oh, these are coming down. Oh, you need to pull them back up and stretch everything backwards. And I mean, or like planting in hair, and that's all crap.
But
connect with hair first.
But why
I'm
are
proud to have white hair? I said white hair is white from wisdom. I've lived. I have scars on my body because I lived and I survived so many things. I had two burnouts. I'm proud of them because they taught me a lot and I managed to come out of them. And the third time I got in a situation where the same could happen, I had learned from the previous ones, so it didn't happen again. And the same with sexuality. When we have fears, when we have wounds, we can hide away or start walking slowly, step by step, and stay connected here and feel. Does this feel good for me? Yeah, it's scary, but does it? Does this one step now feel good or bad? That feels good. Okay, then take it. Then you stop. And you breathe into that space again. You do not need to go from A to Z at once. Also in lovemaking, it's not like you meet, okay, now you stuff it in. No, that's the last thing you probably do. Maybe after an hour or two, you stuff something in, but it will not be stuffing anymore because there will have been the dance, there will have been connection, there will have been touch, there will have been appreciation. Because what is foreplay? Foreplay is actually discovering each other, is expressing appreciation. Just like, I think it were the Italians who would go with a guitar and stand under the balcony of the woman and sing for them. What is that? That is a foreplay that is saying, I really appreciate you. Sometimes just being there with someone is saying that. It can be totally non-sexual. One thing you and I, we discussed last week was about holding space, I believe. Was it with you that we discussed that?
Yeah, we've
as masculine about holding space for the feminine, or it was, I mean, it was recommended to me and I thought I shared it with you, but just being in the space and holding space, holding the energy for the opposite sex is an amazing thing to do. That you don't need to touch, you can literally be somewhere else and just holding the space and let that person start to feel safe in that space and start to do whatever needs to be done, expressing himself or dealing with his feelings, letting out something or start doing something. It doesn't matter, but just holding the space. And that's something that I was recommended to do because I've been doing it already for different people, both men and women, just holding the space with the sacred masculine so that that person could do his thing. And yes, we all have masculine and feminine within us, so you can hold space for both genders. It's not like only one or the other.
It's so, not doing it for the woman either. It's women have to do it just as much for men. I was reading a post yesterday and it's like, oh, the men have to heal through this and not want mothering and not demand nurturing. And it's like, how is our flower going to open if we don't get a little bit of that? But when it's out of control, yeah, it can feel icky, but when it's in control, it can feel amazing. To lay with your head in a woman's lap, to suckle on her breast, or something like you would do with your mother when you didn't have that in your past, can be the most transcendent experience ever. But it's all of us holding space in our unique individual way, being the rock like a man, just listening and being there and feeling the storm in your arms and letting that happen and not judge or fix. And then the other way around, letting the man just stream tears of his trauma and his pain for a little while. And then, huh, once it's been heard, once it's been sent, then all of a sudden magic happens because now he felt safe enough to do it. Now he's free of it. Both win. So there's a dance, like just like you said. And when you said, instead of shoving things in, I said merging was the word that came in because that's what it is. It's emerging at that point.
It's melting together, becoming one. I mean, let the both energies melt. But also when we say talk about holding space, I want to emphasize it's not just for painful things. It can also be for creation, for expressing something, expressing a desire, or letting the creative energy flow. So holding space can literally be just facilitating that's the person you're holding space for can actually do what he really desires to do.
and giving permission,
which may have nothing to do with sexuality at all, but just doing something, and that can be like seen as a patronage, where somebody just offers a space or gives the money so the person can actually start doing his thing. I mean, patronage was done for example, painters. Rich people would make sure the painter would have a house to live in and money to eat, to buy his food and stuff. As long as that painter kept painting beautiful things, kept expressing his creativeness. Mm-hmm. And we see this here and there in society, but very little, because we're not trained again to express from within us. We only trained to express from here, to memorize and to repeat what others have said, instead of channeling mm-hmm. our own gift. Mm-hmm. I mean, most singers, they're not singing their own story. They're their own, they're actually not singing their own stories. Mm-hmm. Like Phil Collins, many of his songs are about his pain and his suffering or his joy. But most are just getting some text. The singer, they go on stage, they dress themselves up. No, actually, they get dressed up, so they don't dress themselves up. So there is nothing authentic about them. Mm-hmm. And we're like, yeah! No.
Yeah.
It's all fake.
Agree.
And you can see which ones are really authentic, because those, they're not one day flies. Mm-hmm. You will see them throughout their lives still expressing themselves. Mm-hmm. They may have started maybe with some fake stuff, but at a certain moment they become themselves. You see the same with actors. You see actors who go into drugs and whatever. Why? Not because they're famous, because they're lost, because there was nothing coming out of themselves. And then you see other actors who actually only go into a certain movie when they can be themselves in that role. Mm-hmm. But we're trained to just play roles because it looks nice and it's good for the ego. This whole Kardashian hype that is still going on, because a woman has a big boobs and a big ass and probably has a lot of silicone or whatever, and then people start copying that. Mm-hmm. That is just sad. It's really sad, because it's nothing about what's really happening in here. Take away Kim Kardashian's big tits and big ass, and she will lose her fame.
Big money.
Because it's not about her. It's about her big tits and her big ass.
Yep.
And it was the same for Arnold Schwarzenegger. It was because he was like this that people were like, oh. Well, but then when he started talking about the environment and things like that, mm-hmm. most people are not listening, because that was not touching the ego.
But do you think those people were really embodied? Were they really living in their body, or were they living a picture?
No, they were not.
To meet, to be successful.
Yes, they wanted to be successful. They wanted to be rich. And then it's interesting, because why do you want to be rich? Mm-hmm. I mean, most rich people that I've seen in person or online, they're not happy. But I think that if they have the money, they will be happy. And we all think that if we have the money, we'll be happy. People even say, I prefer to be miserable in a BMW than whatever else. I'm like, actually, the BMW is costing you more taxes. And if it breaks down, it's more expensive to repair. So actually, you will be more miserable. Yeah. What we want is actually to be happy, to feel good. And money can help with that. But it's the other way around. Money will come to you when you start to love yourself and appreciate yourself, and from there value yourself. Mm-hmm. And when you value yourself, others will value you. And then money will come on your path.
Can I explain why that is, just so that people are aware?
Please do.
Those are all people that are empty, and they're looking for the world to fill them. They've given and given and given into the world and not kept any for themselves. And they've trusted and believed the story that filling yourself with money, filling yourself with cars and women and all these kind of
fame.
Things. And fame, yeah. And then you go and have a relationship with a woman, and then you're having sexuality with them, and you're not connecting at a sexual level or an energetic level. So it's just hollow. It's just a masturbation with another person's body. And we're not really living our lives for ourselves. We're living our lives for a dream that we were taught, the grow up, get a good job, or go to school, get a good job, get married, have three kids, have the nice vacation home, and be rich. That's the story.
Wait, you forgot the dog.
Okay, well,
and dogs, the garden,
pets, and all that stuff. But you get there and you follow that ladder and you find out that it's hollow. It's got debt, and you have a wife that you chose out of high school and you didn't know any better and you hate her, or you, it, things aren't working. You're codependent and nobody's doing their spiritual work. They're not doing it from connection. They're doing it from trying to fill themselves, and you'll always lose when you're trying to fill yourself. What Latvi and I have been talking about is having a spiritual awakening to all of a sudden understand that giving is not helping anything. We just give and then we say, oh, nobody ever gives back to me. I can't receive. Then you're in a victim and nobody ever honors me. Nobody ever, you created that. You don't even know it by believing everything the world has taught you. And believing everything the world has taught you is bullshit, because the whole world is about control and a whole bunch of people stuck in the same story and they want you to believe it. And the minute you step out of it, they'll yell and scream at you and say there's something wrong with you and you're some outsider or black sheep. Because you're starting to turn that mirror inward. You're saying, how do I fill myself when I'm empty? No, I got to stop giving unconditionally all the time. That's not unconditional love. Unconditional love is, there's no fucking way I'm going to help you move this weekend because I'm freaking exhausted. My body won't let me. Instead of, oh, I'll just take another one for the team and hope he'll do it for me next time or whatever. You know, 10 to 1, they don't ever help you again or whatever. They just took and they were so glad that you just gave unconditionally because there's no hooks attached. So what if now we're starting to give from, okay, I'm going to give you this pleasure and I would love if you could return the pleasure to me and make the expectation before you even start, rather than having an unstated expectation and then being hurt because this thing didn't happen. So we start making choices for us and say, hey, you're having a relationship. And the woman goes deep whenever she feels like it or whatever, but never when you feel like it. So all of a sudden, is that selfish or whatever? No, you state, okay, I'm not feeling met here. And yeah, I know you're tired sometimes or whatever, but I'd like to feel met afterwards. Is that an agreement we can have before we even start now? And then you're not let down afterwards when they didn't follow through because they've had a whole stream of men that just gave unconditionally and they just loved being filled up. But that filled up disappears the next day. The love and what Latvi's talking about, you're starting to fill yourself and it's like a win in, okay, I stated my boundaries and I won this time. Even though I had to walk away, I at least didn't get hurt this time because I wanted for me. And then all of a sudden your love's at 50%. And then you're having discussions with your parents and cleaning up all that weird muddled mess of energy. Now all of a sudden your love's at 75%. Oh, now you're self-loving your body and you're self-loving all these things that are important to you and doing the things, not giving a shit or counting how much sex you've had or am I being met or whatever, just saying, I'd far prefer to have no sex than hollow sex that's just friction-based. I'm going to hold on to myself, create an energy within myself that's going to bring in the partner that aligns with my needs. And then you start to meet soulmate level, twin flame level people, because now you're holding out for your vibration. You're just not taking sex from that ugly person just because they are willing to give you sex and that's the only way you can get sex. No, you're choosing and saying, I deserve far better. And then your cup's 100% full and you go find partners and maybe partners that are still looking to be filled a little bit. You give your 25%, that's the overflow, or you give it by doing a video like this and shining your light out and just wanting people to hear this message so that they feel something and then they can hold on to that for a little while. It's not at my loss. This is just huge divine energy that's flowing through us to want to share of our experience so that somebody can hear it and say, I'm not alone. Those guys might have some answers. And that's all we are. It's just somebody that's had an experience. Maybe we're a little further up the path, not better, just got up 20 minutes earlier than you and started. That's all this is. That's all life is. Once you completely and totally 100% embody yourself, your love, your safety, your self-sufficiency is all right here, you have gold. And the people that show up will come and want some. And you only let in the ones that are ready to match you, to give and receive in balance. But if we live in that old way, we get hurt every time. That's the whole process is designed for that. So that you're filled with somebody else. As soon as you break up, half of your body has just been torn off of the side of you because 50% of your love is in your partner. No wonder it fucking hurts. But should we have done that in the first place? No, build it here. And the minute they leave, you can share it with another person. Build it here. And you can never be hurt. It may sting, but not a part of you is ripped out of your body. Because that's how we love now. We're trying to fill ourselves with our partner. And that's why it hurts for jealousy, or they break up, or they cheat on you, or whatever. You can't change any of it. It's not a statement.
Yes, and also take a moment to feel what you're feeling and acknowledging it. I mean, if you feel pain at the end of a relationship, it means that it meant something to you. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. I mean, would really not be a healthy thing. I mean, I would not be really happy if I would not feel pain if a relationship would end, because it would mean like, oh, so it didn't mean anything, or it died already so long ago that I don't mm-hmm. feel the pain anymore. No, it's... It is what it is, so sit with it and allow yourself to grieve, because that's a grieving process. Mm-hmm. But it becomes difficult when you depend for your happiness on that other person. That other person says, okay, now I'm ending this relationship. Then that's when you have a real problem. Mm-hmm. But that's because we do not have the connection with ourselves. We don't love ourselves, and we depend on others to feel good. Mm-hmm. And I was once at a wedding in 2008, mm-hmm. and the reverend said something really beautiful. He said to the guy and the lady, these are two people who each have a life, and they've come together and decided to also have a life together now. Mm-hmm. So basically there are three lives. But before you want to merge with someone, you better want to be yourself and that person also, and then you have a part in common, or you create a part in common. And they say there is actually an energy created when two people merge together in a friendship or a love relationship or whatever it is. There is a new entity of energy being created. Mm-hmm. I picked that up a few months ago, and it made total sense. And this energy stays. It doesn't die when the relationship is broken. Mm-hmm. That's why you can meet an old friend after many years, and there's still something. There is still that annoyance energy, or there is still that triggering, or there is still like, yeah, how are you actually? I mean, there's always still something, because there is still that energy that was there. And if you don't work on it, it will stay as it was when you split up, your friendship or your love relationship or whatever it is. Or even your relationship with somebody who dies. So when somebody dies, also take time for that. If it's your loved one, I mean like your partner or a parent, because our parents generally die before us. So most of us will experience losing a parent or two. Sometimes three if there has been a divorce and you have been readopted or whatever it is. And it's the same in that moment. You do not depend on them for your happiness, but there was a connection, there was a relationship. So it's important that you make sure that you are you again, that you're whole again. You give back what's not yours, you give back to them, you take back what is yours. Mm-hmm. And actually, I feel like I should record a video on this separately, or have a live on this. And it's literally what I did with my ex when we broke up. We sat down after, I don't know, a week or so. And we did that. We did express what we felt, and we did give back to the other that part that the other gave us, mm-hmm. and took back our own. Mm-hmm. And I do not know if it's wrong or right that there was an exchange of energies. Like we had, there was something to take back afterwards. I do not know. And honestly, I do not care now. I just know that being open to doing this, make sure that you're whole again when you split up. And that brings back some kind of calmness. And there may still be some pieces that stay for a while. Mm-hmm. But you'll know once that energy has been separated again. Mm-hmm. Because then you'll feel real peace. And you can think of that person without feeling the pain anymore. Because it means you healed your wound within you. It means you are whole again. Mm-hmm. doesn't mean you need to jump on and on the next woman or not. That's up to you. But being whole is where it starts.
Mm-hmm.
Also, before you start a relationship, if you haven't had your first real relationship, mm-hmm. work on yourself. Be whole first.
Mm-hmm. To be your fullest expression of self and be fully sovereign, I have now learned that I release everyone after every experience, especially around sexuality. You get to the end and you say, I release you, because you don't want to be a collection of their mixed emotions. You don't want to stay stuck in their head, in their energy, and you're feeling their stuff, because that's not really honoring and respecting them. Give them their distance, give them their boundaries. So I call back my sovereignty every single time. My interaction with a person doesn't, oh, if I just let it go, I let it be free, and it's 10 times more likely they'll come back, because there's not some pull, there's not some codependency. And it creates this purity of interaction where in the moment you can be everything, and then you're not like, oh, call me back, text me, I need you, or I need to feel that you're still attached to me because I'm filling again. No, I don't need to be filled. It's like, oh, hey, you're calling me back. Hey, that's beautiful. Not from a pull, but from a honest want. And to know that there's that purity of separation, of independence is the better word, because yes. I don't want to be half of them, and I don't want them to be half of me. I want to be uniquely me all the time, and invite them to do the same. And then power yes. and safety and sovereignty become beautiful. And now you just walk around in this self-knowing, and it's incredible. You're not waiting for them to come back. You're not hoping anything. It's like, oh, somebody else will come and fill that me with me if they weren't interested. You let the universe handle it. It doesn't have to be them. It's whoever shows up right here and right now.
Yeah, so there will be no possessiveness, which you also see in friendships. Yeah, no. But you're supposed to be my best friend and not go have dinner with that other person. I mean, yeah, a beautiful show where they show this kind of behavior is Third Rock from the Sun. I was just watching mm-hmm. it yesterday. And yeah, you see, and then we laugh about such a show. You may be laughing now about this, but just look around. You will see how many people actually expect their friends to be loyal to them, meaning if they lie, you need to lie with them. Mm-hmm. If they fuck up, you need to still support them and lie for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's not friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Friendship is unconditional, being there. When I look at my new friends yeah. since 2012, the people who came into my life, it's mm-hmm. unconditional.
Mm-hmm. And look
yes,
at
yes, there's an exchange, but it's not because I do, then they need to do.
Absolutely. Sure. What age is the part of them that's coming from? That's a 5 or 6 year old kind of thought of the world. So it tells you. You got a 5 or 6 year old living inside you that's demanding that you only spend time with me or these kind of things, where you've grown up. Now your adult is seeking adults instead of a bunch of crying, screaming children with these expectations, which a lot of us have, and we don't even know it because our traumas and stuff are holding us there. Now all of a sudden you're doing it from this adult choice of choice, of not demanding, not insisting. It's very different. It's beautiful.
It's one of the things I've worked on myself with, and I'm working on with others who want help with this,
mm-hmm.
which is actually healing the wounds of the child within you. So that the child within you is not the one like, I don't know, I need this, but it's just free mm-hmm. and can play. And your playfulness actually is the child within you being free to express himself.
Mm-hmm.
And once you experience that, at least for once, you don't want to live differently anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You start to realize how the energy starts to flow within you and what you can create and the joy you're experiencing and how beautiful things become and the choices you start to make.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. But you need to heal the wounds of the little child, of the little boy, the little girl that you were.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even that difficult. Actually, it's quite easy if you have the right guidance and you know what to do, and maybe somebody holding space for you so you actually can go there and then can ask you some questions to make sure that you're actually really doing everything you need to be doing to heal all the wounds, mm-hmm. or tells you like, okay, take a break now and come back later to heal the rest. And mm-hmm. and I can tell you, it's an amazing experience to do this. Mm-hmm. And the freedom you feel afterwards, for me, it felt like I went back in time, fixed a whole bunch of shit, and came back, and I looked like, oh, wow, it's like it never happened. Mm-hmm. It's like time travel.
Well, it's called reparenting. You go back and become fill the holes that you expected from your parents. And it's not a failing of your parents. It's a failing of your perspective. And now you have an adult perspective. You can go in and you can fill in all those little holes. So you're not wounded and you're not missing. It's beautiful.
Any last thoughts you would like to share? Because we've been talking for 1 hour, 22 minutes already. Beautiful.
My last thing I want to share is an orgasm a day will keep the doctor away. And go and it will, if you're angry, if you're frustrated, if you can't get grounded, if you're having a bad day, even if you're having a headache, an orgasm can fix all of that. And make sure you make time for yourself after the orgasm, not like wipe up and flush the toilet and run off to the other room. Lay in bed and sit in that pool of that calm and that quiet and just see what shows up. That's meditation. That's clear mind. That's blank mind. Go do it right now. As soon as the show's over, go and make a safe space for yourself where you can lock the door, get your favorite tissues and your lotion or whatever, and just spend some time with yourself. Because we don't. We repress it. We hide it. We're waiting for a partner to bring that to us. Go do it for yourself. Right here and right now. I couldn't care less if you use porn to do it. Anything that's going to get that energy moving will make your life better. So do it. Go ahead.
Well, my recommendation is, if this didn't resonate with you, is to just sit with yourself and pay attention to your breathing. Mm-hmm. Do some grounding. If you can, go out, touch nature, which means bare feet on the grass. Maybe it's too cold, put your hands on the soil or both hands on a tree. Mm-hmm. Ask permission to the tree and do that. You'll feel a change happening, because literally we're discharging the excess of electrons in our bodies when we touch the soil. It's literally grounding physically. Mm-hmm. I have on my website, you can find it under tips and tools, grounding tools, and you will see there I have videos from scientists explaining what's happening in the body. I have examples on doing it the spiritual way. And you can also combine the two. Do your grounding first and then sit with yourself sexually, mm-hmm. and see what happens.
It'll be very different. Yep.
Or if you have a partner, ground individually, if you can do it together, mm-hmm. and then connect. Because then all the stories, all the stress of the day, all the thoughts are gone. Mm-hmm. And then you're either really with yourself, or you're with yourself, and then you really connect with somebody else as yourself, not as the employee of that company with all those problems, mm-hmm. or the son of the parents who are fighting, or whatever it is, or the friend of this person who's doing this crap. No, you, authentic you. Mm-hmm. And that's the most beautiful person there is. And that's what the other person will really enjoy, the authentic you. And if they don't enjoy it, then you are the wrong person.
Yeah. And you don't even know how, you don't even have to know how to ground. You don't even have to do anything about energy. Just give each other a foot massage before you start any sexual activity. And do it to the best of your ability. And they will be grounded whether they like it or not. And then start sex.
Listen to the needs of the other when you do it. So don't push too hard when not like, no, but you're supposed to do like this. No. Connect. Receive. Communicate.
Communicate. Give. Yep.
Beautiful. Thanks a lot. People, you will find in the description how you can reach us both if you have questions. Questions can inspire us to record new lives or new videos together or separately, or one of us with somebody else. So please send us publicly or one-on-one if you don't feel confident asking the question, which is understandable, no judgment, but please do say what you need, share with us, because then we can look into what we can offer, how we can help you. Because in the end, we're all here together to grow together, evolve together, to reach happiness together.
Right now is a huge, miraculous time of healing. You may be feeling a call for new ways to heal or to shift yourself. This may resonate, and just reach out and it'll be a soft, gentle conversation. And we'll see if we can find something that might change things for you or help you or shift your perspective or anything. It can be beautiful. So thank you. Thank you, Latvi. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Thank you for leaning into your discomfort and new ideas, because that's where change is. It's fun.
Thank you for everyone who put their comments and who's watching later. Really appreciate it, and looking forward to interacting with you. Beautiful. Have a beautiful day, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.